to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you are on Empowered by the Spirit. We're so excited to have you listening in to this show called Hunger for His Word. And I'm here with Marianne Greco. Welcome to the show, Marianne.
Hi, Steve. Great to be here with you.
And Katie Hughes. Welcome again, Katie,
Thank
to the
you.
Show.
Thank you. Such a blessing.
And we are talking about one of my most favorite topics, and that is the Word of God. This is so exciting for me and yet so frustrating, Marianne, because for me, I really want to shout from the rooftops, please, please, please take the time to read the Bible, Scripture. Let it be part of your life. You know, make a habit of really absorbing it, listening to it, reading it, quoting it, you know, memorizing it. I mean, chew on it. I mean, imbibe it. It's just so important. Your thoughts, Marianne?
Well, I agree with you, of course, and I think that people don't understand. They take it as just maybe literature, but that it's really more than that. It's like God's love letter to us, and it also really pertains to our everyday life. I think people don't see that connection sometimes, and that's where they just go, well, why bother? But it is just so, it feeds my life.
Katie, it appears to be at times overwhelming to people where they just can't, oh, well, I just can't absorb it very well. But why is Scripture so important to you?
It teaches you how to follow Jesus, for number
one. Amen.
And to understand why we're living out this Catholic faith of ours, or Christian faith for that matter.
My brother and sister, St. Jerome, said ignorance of the Word of God is ignorance of Christ. Think about what you hunger for. What is it that you desire? Hunger for the Word of God. Psalm 37:4, find your delight in the Lord, who will give you your heart's desire. If your heart's desire is to really understand how much God loves you, then read Scripture, read Romans 8. If your heart's desire is to hunger and thirst to do His will, then read Matthew 5 and 6 that says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Or read Matthew that said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and everything else will be added to it. Marianne, the first chapter of John talks about, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And later it says in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we saw His glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. The Word was God. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word became flesh. What does that mean to you?
Well, it's such a powerful statement. We were just talking, I teach Bible, two Bible studies, and we were just talking about that. You know, Jesus is the Word. And if we want to know Jesus, I mean, you want to know the Word. It's part of Him. You should hunger and thirst for the Word.
So, so important to understand this Scripture in Hebrews 4:12. And Katie, I'm going to ask you to really have an explanation as to what this means.
Hey, I'm ready.
Indeed, the Word of God is living. Let's stop there. Is living. What does it mean that the Word of God is living, is alive?
I think for someone who has no experience with the Bible, I think it doesn't make any sense. But if you understand that God is alive, Jesus is alive, and Jesus is the Word made flesh, if Jesus is alive and He's the Word, it's living. It is always in existence, because it's God's gift of who He is, what it's all about. The Word is living. It's not, it will never die.
I agree, Katie. And the other thing I think that people don't realize is that it's God's Word that was written a long time ago still speaks to us today. It's living to me. There are things that I find in Scripture that speak exactly to a situation that I'm in or something that I need to hear to draw closer. And that's the living word. It's there's so many layers of God's word that I find it really exciting. The more you read, the more layers you see how it pertains to your life and just everything.
So this is what it means to me. You ready?
Got it. Yeah.
Okay. Because I agree with both of you, but this is what it means to me. Every single verse I could read every single day, once an hour, whatever, and it may say something different to me.
Yeah, I agree.
So, for example, in Ephesians 1, it says that we are blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessings in the heavens. I could meditate on that. I have received every spiritual blessings in heaven. And just let my mind go, what does that mean to me? What are the blessings I take for granted? What are the blessings where I really need to thank God for, which is everything, but maybe there's something specific. Maybe there's a blessing of a person. Maybe there's a blessing on how I receive this favor from God, this job or this financial support or health or whatever it might be. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can let your mind just go, and that's what makes it living because it changes. You can read one verse,
right?
You know, and you can read it 1,000 times, and each time you read it, there's a different message.
Well, people, we've read, done the same Bible study or the same Bible or the book of the Bible in Bible study a couple times, and someone says, boy, I got a different meaning this time. It's because they're at a different place in their life. God is speaking to them and where they are now today. And yesterday he spoke to them where they were then. And that's what makes it living to me.
Okay, we're back to Hebrews 4:12. Indeed, the word of God is living, as we've been saying, and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit. What does that mean? Sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit.
It cuts through the world.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it is, it's a sword of the spirit. And so God, who is all truth, presents his truth through the scriptures. And that truth that's in that Bible can cut through any lie.
Can cut through the lies of the devil.
Yeah.
Can cut through the lies of sin.
Yep.
Can cut through the lies of people telling you one thing. It is so, so critical to understand that the Word of God elucidates. The Word of God is essentially the sword of the Spirit, as it says, and the Holy Spirit is leading us to all truth, as it says in John.
You know, there's one thing we miss in that one. It says it's like a two-edged sword. And back then, it was really a two-edged sword was much more powerful than a regular sword or blade. And so when it says that, it's saying it's even more powerful than any other weapon.
Yeah.
You know, and this is so powerful as it relates to changing your life. But I want to talk about, again, the sword of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, and some of you may disagree with this, but for most of us that have had what's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or which is really just releasing the Holy Spirit that we received at baptism, that we've received, be sealed of the Spirit is what we're told, and with the anointed oil at confirmation. So we release the Holy Spirit within us to really take over our lives. Does the Holy Spirit lead us to a love and longing for Scripture, Katie?
If you say yes, yeah, you are invited, and it is a decision to make. And some people get stuck in it. Well, I'm spiritual this way. But know that if you want to know Jesus, if you want to know your purpose on this earth, and you want God to speak to you, he can speak to you in locutions. He can also speak to you through the Word. And so it's really important to be open to the Word. It is a decision.
It's so, so critical because at least for me, and we all know, you've heard of my experience in which when I said yes to the Lord and really meant it at age 28, I couldn't put the Bible down. I could not put the Bible down hour after hour after hour after hour after hour, right, Marianne?
I used to say, put that Bible down. I want you to help with the dishes.
Yeah, I could not put it down. I probably averaged 6 to 8 hours a day, which was crazy because I had a full-time job. But early in the morning, when I got home, you know, I just constantly was reading it, memorizing it, quoting it, because God gave me that gift, that grace, because it's a love letter, as you said, Marianne. It's a love letter to us. And it is so frustrating for me because it's so critical, and yet so many people look at it as optional. We are a sacramental church, and I'm very thankful for that, but we have it all. Remember, half of the Mass is the Word of God.
I was going to say, the sacraments have the Word in it. Like, when you go through the different, from the Mass to baptism, through marriage, the priestly orders, Scripture's brought into that, and it's not by mistake. It's not by happenstance. It's because it's so critical and important. And it's valid today as it was when Jesus Christ was on earth, as valid as it was before Jesus Christ was born into this world. It's number one when it comes to helping us be who we're supposed to be and children of God.
Alleluia.
Alleluia.
Okay. And then again, Hebrews 4:12 says, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. Discern reflections and thoughts of the heart. Be able to discern it. What's that mean to you, Marianne? I mean, think about it. You know, when we reflect something, we meditate on it, mm-hmm. and God gives us insights as to what's really in our heart.
Right. Well, I think a really powerful way is if we don't put the Word of God into us, if we don't give it the time, then we don't have that when we do our reflections, and it brings us to know God. And the Lectio Divina,
Lectio Divina,
that is so powerful is we can take a word of God and just start reading and stop where something hits you and start reflecting on that. And the Holy Spirit can speak to you through that word and what you've taken in. And so it's right there for us to use all the time, this beautiful scripture. And there's so many different ways we can use scripture in our lives, and reflection is a great way. I always say, you know, if I get angry or something and mad at God or upset, I read Psalms, because David certainly went through that with him, and yet Psalms seems to settle me and then put me into the grace of God again.
My brothers and sisters, take a look at various scriptures. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind. Verse 4, and just put your name into it.
Yeah.
Steve is patient. Steve is kind. Put someone else. Katie is patient. Marianne is patient. Marianne is kind. Meditate on that. Think about that. You know, there's so many powerful ways of using scripture in which it comes alive to us. It's filled with joy and filled with the Holy Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to talk about 7 key components of having the Word of God become alive in you and set a fire upon you. We'll be right back. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and you're Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about hunger for His Word. And at the break, Katie Hughes and Marianne Greco are with me, both senior members of Spirit-Filled Hearts, our ministry. And Katie, you were mentioning that just being a Christian is almost now being seen as someone who is radical, someone who discriminates. Reading scripture is something that is almost like a hate crime, right? And your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, Jesus is the Word made flesh. The Word is the scriptures, the Bible from God. Of course, the enemy wants to destroy anything that has to do with God. And, well, his message is important. He wants to destroy that because he wants us to go to hell. So imagine the world is trying to crush our spirit. And one of the things is the scriptures. Imagine we couldn't have the Bible.
Guess what? We all know this. I say guess what, but we all see it all the time. People come up to you and they may be quoting scripture, or they may be quoting some other religious book or whatever it might be, and you have no answer for them. I hear that all the time. People knock on your door. They're trying to get you to convert away from being Catholic. And how many Catholics, right, the largest denomination outside the Catholic Church or group of people are ex-Catholics, right? Mm-hmm. And they go to various churches because they never knew their faith. They never knew what the Catholic Church taught, certainly within the catechism, but they didn't know Scripture. In some cases, they go to non-Catholic churches that focus on the Word of God, and they go, oh, how come I never heard this? Well, certainly you hear this half of the Mass, but you have to take the time to do your part. So there's seven key components of having the Word of God become alive and on fire for you. The first is to want it by surrendering to God. We talk about an 18-inch test. What is that test, Marianne? From the head to the heart?
Yes.
And why is that so important?
Well, because we can have all the head knowledge in the world. The devil knows head knowledge of the Bible, but it has to be in our heart. We have to know to live it, to make it part of us. You know, one of the things I think, too, is when we put it into our heart and we digest it and remember it, those are the things that are going to bubble forth when we need them in times of crisis or, you know, those are the things that that come forth. But if we don't put it in, it's not there.
How many people love a sports team, you know, love the Dodgers, the USC football team, UCLA basketball team, you know, the Lakers, whatever, and they can tell you everything about them.
Yeah.
They can tell you the history. They can tell you about, you know, who won that World Series, who won the championship, who's on the team, who's on the roster and whatever. But then you say, well, how about the Word of God, and they, oh, that's not my gift. You know, I hear that all the time. That's not my gift. That's not my thing. Mm. People don't bring the Bible with them, even on Friday mornings. They don't bring the Bible with them. It drives me crazy, because if they understood the importance of the Word of God, and Pope Francis says it, you know, you carry your smartphone everywhere, carry the Word of God, and people say, well, I have it on my smartphone. And maybe that is good enough.
It's different, though.
It is different.
When it's printed.
It is. And at least for many of us, it is so important. So first of all, surrender to God totally, and the Holy Spirit and that surrender leads you to knowing Scripture and understanding Scripture. Katie, Matthew 6:33, again, I quoted it earlier a little bit. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you besides. I ask people all the time, what's the word righteousness means? I mean, even if they've heard that quote, they don't understand what the word righteousness means. Mm-hmm. What's it mean?
It means you're in God's will.
Doing God's will, mm-hmm. right, Marianne, and being right with God.
Yeah, the way I remember it is always saying being right with God, being in God's will.
But
they don't know what it is.
But seek first the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just meditate on that for a second. Mm-hmm. I mean, what does that mean to you, Katie?
I want to be with him. And what does that mean? I need to spend time with him in my prayer life. And what better way to get to know Jesus in your prayer life than to read a scripture, the love letter from God,
amen,
praying on it, putting yourself in it, spending time with the Lord, asking, what are you trying to tell me about my spiritual life? What do you, you know, Lord Jesus, have me, you know, enter into me, live in me. I want that word to be me. I want to be life. I want to bring you into existence, brings heaven down here on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that our Father. Well, part of bringing down heaven is expressing the love that God has in the Word and from Jesus. And I don't know, you can't go wrong with that in your prayer life.
Marianne, what does it mean, seek first the kingdom of God?
Well, it means seek the Lord, you know, to with all your heart. It's to make it the priority or everything in your life. You know, everything you do should be related to that. The kingdom of God. It's not or, it's an and.
So many people tell me, yes, but I'm married. I have children. I have this job that's all consuming. I have this, I have that, whatever. And then afterwards, maybe if I have time, I'll do a little bit for the Lord, or I'll go to church once in a while, whatever it might be. My brothers and sisters, when it says seek first the kingdom of God, it means just that. that God becomes your priority. And you say, well, does that mean I'm not working? It doesn't mean that at all. You can be working, but when you're working during the course of that day, you find that you're praying, you're finding you're putting God and putting God at the center of what you're doing, how you treat people, how you pray, how you act, and what you do.
It's taking God with you everywhere you go. It's God sitting next to you at work. It's God sitting across from you. It's He's everywhere. He's part of you. Your whole world
You're never meant to compartmentalize God.
You know, I was just thinking, when people are talking about those excuses, well, I have work and I have my family. Well, exactly. If you're going to call on Jesus to be your Lord, and the Word is important aspect of that, when you have a problem, go to the Word. I mean, a lot of times, like, I'll even have someone say, you know what, I'm feeling really depressed. I'm feeling desolation. I'm feeling isolated. I'm feeling a spiritual attack. You know, I try to find out what the issue is, and I go to my phone, actually, and I, you know, a scripture that focuses on encouragement, and I send that to that person, or a video clip, or whatever it is, because then you're activating, and you're letting the Spirit work through you in the workspace, in your home.
And the second point, first is total surrender to Jesus Christ to get hunger for His Word. The second is to be on fire, fuego, with Jesus. To be baptized by the Holy Spirit. That's the reason why this show is called Empowered by the Spirit. Acts 1:8, you will receive power, which is translated as dynamite in the Greek, when the Holy Spirit, not if, but when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, which is evangelists, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. We are meant, Marianne, to receive the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're meant to receive and not live as orphans. So we have the gift of discernment. We have the gift of miracles, because through our baptism, we pray for miracles, and God will determine what kind of miracle it is. It could be just an emotional. It could be spiritual. It could be physical, whatever it might be. But God is going to touch people as we pray. We have all these different gifts, the gift of faith, charismatic gift of faith. We have all of those things to give us power.
Well, that's why I think it's really important when we open our Bible or when we start reading to call on the Holy Spirit to be our guide, to be with us as we read Scripture. Before we do anything, before I go to Bible study, before I open up or answer my questions in Bible study, Holy Spirit, guide me, be with me, and speak to me, and expect to receive those gifts and to use them.
It's interesting, the Baltimore Catechism says to know Him, love Him, and serve Him, right? And many of our listeners knew the Baltimore Catechism. How do you know Him without knowing Scripture? How can you love Him in the way that He wants to be loved without really knowing the Word of God? Because Jesus is the Word made flesh. And how can you serve Him without the guidance of the Holy Spirit through Scripture? You know, you mentioned the Holy Spirit and you mentioned the word guide. How many people know Matthew, the first verse of Matthew 4, the fourth chapter of Matthew, the first verse?
I give up. What is it?
What
I don't
is
even
it?
Know. What?
What is it? Okay.
Spirit
well, the fourth life. Chapter of Matthew is what?
I'm guessing.
Okay.
I'm asking the Lord.
Okay. Here
so
we go.
So was it the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert?
Wow!
Oh, my gosh.
Wow!
God is so
oh,
good.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. And so many people, you know, they're just like stunned by that. They're stunned by that. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil, is Matthew 4:1. And we get into the various temptations that the devil gave Jesus. Now, you know, again, you can meditate on that. You can say, okay, I am in a desert right now. I'm right now in a desert, meaning that you may be in a desert and so forth. And all of us at times get into this period of darkness. If not, you know, take a look at the letters from St. Mother Teresa, St. Teresa Lisieux, you know, I mean, St. John of the Cross. I mean, so many saints go through this period of desolation, this period of, but the Holy Spirit is like holding you by the hand. Mm. And when you are tempted, the Holy Spirit is guiding you.
Yeah, it's really comforting to know that He's there guiding us, and that he's showing us. And a lot of times, I even say, you know, I must be really slow. This is taking a long time. Holy Spirit, help me grow. Help me know what it is you have for me, Lord. And, you know, being open to being led, even though sometimes is a painful experience, knowing that the Lord is right there holding, you know, the Holy Spirit's holding your hand, guiding us through this difficult time is so comforting. And we just have to recognize when we're at those times, we have that.
Luke 12:49 says, I've come to set the earth on fire. And how I wish it was already blazing. On fire. How can the earth be on fire without the word of God? Think about the road to Emmaus. Think about what happened. This is interesting. And as I was meditating, I was praying and putting together this actual teaching. We've all read the road to Emmaus and so forth. And Luke 24, chapter 24, verses 27-32, then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. Mm-hmm. Then in verse 32, then they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us? Put that two together. Mm-hmm. Jesus interpreted the scriptures, which led to their heart being on fire. Again, the power of that, the power of that, my brothers and sisters, the power, the fact that Jesus took the time to open up the power of the Word of God, the power of Scriptures, then their heart was on fire. You see what I'm trying to say here? It goes together, and don't miss that opportunity. Now, people say, well, how do I do it? Take one verse a week. Memorize it and talk about it three or four times a day, 7 days a week. By the end of the week, you're talking about it 20 to 30 times. And during the course of talking about it in one verse, it will become part of your life. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're going to be right back to talk more about the hunger for the Word of God. Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we're on Empowered by the Spirit with Marianne Greco and Katie Hughes. We're talking about love for His Word, and we're talking about seven key components of having the Word of God become alive and on fire for you. The first is surrendering to Jesus Christ, because if you can't surrender to Christ, then He can't really fill you with His Holy Spirit in the way He wants to. And second is the desire to be on fire with the Lord and fire with the Spirit. And it's so important that we make that decision to love God. So many people want to know more about Scripture, but they don't take the time. And the suggestion right before the break is take one verse and just memorize it. And I'm challenging the two of you to do the same and me to do the same. Every single week, just think about it. At the end of a year, you have how many verses?
365. Oh, each week? Yeah. Once a week. Okay.
Yeah.
52.
Yeah, okay. Just checking. Exactly. If you want a day, it's 365.
What about every day?
Yeah, leap year, 366.
Ooh, yeah,
you
know, 2020.
It's exciting if you do get a verse. It's like the Holy Spirit just puts you, you're in situations where all of a sudden that word just keeps popping up all week. All week. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's just, God is so wonderful how He just keeps, you know, if you surrender to Him and allow Him to work with you, and you pick a verse, and God gives you a verse, or you feel led to a verse, it just keeps coming back. You'll hear it on the radio. You'll hear it in a song. It's just amazing.
The point number three is to use Scripture to spread God's love.
Mm-hmm.
John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him might not perish, but might have eternal life. I don't know about you, but as you get a little older, Marianne, and we're just spring chickens, right?
Oh, yeah.
As you get a little older and some of your friends pass on, you know, it's hard not to think about your own mortality and, you know, the clock is ticking and so forth. And the devil in particular wants to put a lot of fear into, oh, you know, death and what does that mean and so forth. But Scripture is so encouraging, because it says that God loves us individually and God wants us to have eternal life with him. 1 John 4:16, we've come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God and God in him. God is love. And he loves us unconditionally. Now, how about people that say things like, yeah, but I've done all these horrible things. God, and I've had people say to me, but God could never forgive me for the horrible things I've done. Well, then if you know scripture, you can point to Romans 8:1. Hence now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And what about people that have things that are not things that they want to have happen to them? Maybe they lost their job. Maybe something happened that was unfortunate for them. You can turn to Romans 8:28. That says what?
All things work for good for those who love the Lord.
And are called according to his
purpose. Yeah.
Okay, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. Start with that verse and memorize it.
Boy, that one just
memorize
keeps me
it.
Going.
And, yeah. and 3, 7, 4, 5, 6, 7 times a day, just in conversation with people, with yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Steve, you know that all things work for good.
If I'm not having a good day or something bad happened, I can just say, okay, there's something good around the corner because I remember this verse, you know. And so it really, it's kind of my mantra. I keep going with that, you know. It keeps me going.
Katie, some people feel like that God is so far away from them, mm-hmm. that they're not connected to God at all. What are some scriptures that would get them connected to God or get them feeling that God is not far from them?
Yahweh, I know you are near.
Okay, good. So we go to a song. That's a good song.
Well, you know,
and all scriptures are related. Yeah. The songs
There's
are related
a lot
to scriptures.
Of songs with great yes. scriptures that we can turn on that really comfort us.
Nice.
I know. I figured the singing of it would balance out the fact that I don't know exactly where it's located
okay.
in the Bible.
All right. So here's to know exactly.
But it's in the Old Testament.
No. Well, yeah. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. It's in the Bible.
But,
and how about Romans 8? Take a look, my brothers and sisters. Do yourself a favor and read Romans 8 every single day.
Galatians.
Read Romans 8 every single day. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life nor principalities nor present things nor future things nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. It's in black and white. It's in black and white. And yet there are people, again, that say, oh, well, I've done these horrible things. Again, 8th chapter of Romans, no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus.
You know, a couple things. I love the Old Testament, and people go, oh, the Old Testament, God is just so mean in there. And I go, no, he's really not. It's the people that turned against God. And yet he comes back to heal those people. He brings them back into his, and he loves those people. And so I look at, you know, there's a lot of stories even in the Old Testament where God just continues, even though the people do horrendous things and turn their backs on God, God is there for them and lifts them up. You know, that's why I love Psalms, and because it says he heals the brokenhearted. You know, he's there for everyone. God, and that's all through Scripture. God keeps saying how much he loves everyone. He didn't just come for the Jews. He came for the Gentiles, which meant the whole world. He loves every single person.
Okay, so this is a test to our listening audience. Are we children of God, true or false?
True.
And where is that found in Scripture?
We're adopted children of God. Ephesians.
Okay.
Please.
Okay, here's a challenge. Ephesians 1, that's good.
Ooh!
We talk about children of God, but adopted children of God. Okay.
Not begotten.
Let's take a look at Romans 8, 14 to 17. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but receive a spirit of adoption, through which we cry, Abba, Abba, which means what?
Which daddy.
Which means
it's a
daddy.
Real informal thing. You know what I think is really neat? When you say the word children of God, you know, we are adopted as children of God. We're not just relatives of God. You know, we're his child. That's much more intimate when you think about it. And that's what the Bible uses. We're children of the Lord. We're not his aunts or uncles or his cousins. We are his children.
And as his children, as it goes on in Romans 8, it says, again, verses 14 to 17, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then...
we inherit.
Heirs. Okay, you're on the right track. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer with him, so we may also be glorified with him. So if we suffer with him, we're glorified with him. And again, in Ephesians 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us before the foundation of the world, be holy, without blemish. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Christ Jesus. So we're adopted through Christ Jesus in accord with the favor of his will. So very, very important as we take a look at Scripture to understand who we are. We're children of God. Scripture can also lead us to a Marian devotion, which is point five, the total yes to Jesus. I don't know about you, Katie, but as we take a look at the first chapter of Luke, Mary says in Luke, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Mm-hmm. I mean, why is that so important, so powerful?
Well, she knew the scriptures. I mean, there's so much behind that. But Mary knew, and the people of the Jewish faith knew, that from them would come the Messiah. And all the girls were looked upon as a possible, especially in the time period of Mary, looking for who that potential mother of God, however that was supposed to happen, they didn't know. But they knew that was that Jesus would spring forth from them. And for her to say, she recognized it. She had the Holy Spirit in the sense of she recognized it. God came upon her, overcame her. And she recognized this is God, and he's moving, he's doing something, and if I don't say yes to this, this is his plan for me, and I must trust in him. And so she tells us to trust in the Lord, because he has a plan for us, a divine plan, and he always comes through, and he will help us and give us strength, especially through his word.
I just love the verse, may be done to me according to your word, because Jesus is the word made flesh. Now, the Blessed Mother, and you are a Marian expert, because I know that because of all your talks that you've given on Mary. Mary has shown unbelievable obedience. The angel Gabriel appears to Mary in Luke chapter 1 and says, and as a sign, your cousin Elizabeth is with child, right? Mm-hmm. And what did Mary do?
Well, she decided she was going to go visit Elizabeth.
In obedience, right?
In obedience. And, you know, that's not an easy thing. It was like a couple days journey, which is over mountains and difficult. But I think what I see in Mary so much is this trust in God and not analyzing. I mean, if it were me, I'd be thinking, well, you know, that's a long trip, and you know, she doesn't know I'm coming, or I just went through this experience with the angel, and you know, I mean, we all think of excuses, but Mary just is this yes, yes, out of obedience. I trust, I believe in what God is going to do, whatever it is. And I don't need to know everything.
And she was obedient, and it says in verse 39 of Luke 1, during these days, Mary set out and traveled to the hill country, as you mentioned, in haste, to the town in Judah. And we've been there, and we lead pilgrimages there in Quran, which is fantastic. The Scripture and the Blessed Mother teaches us about intercession. What would be an example of intercession, Katie, for the Blessed Mother to teach us?
Through Scripture?
Through Scripture. Through the Gospel of John. Through the second chapter.
She is our mother. I mean, I just go to the cross.
Through the second chapter in Cana. And how did she teach us about intercession there? What did she do?
Well, I guess I went straight to the cross, where Jesus said, this is your mother. And so we all go to our mother before we go to our father.
Behold your mother.
So I go straight to her because...
What? We all go to our mother before our father?
And my dad was...
That's getting close
my mama,
to home there.
My mom was home, so she was the first one. And if your sister's pulling your hair or something, you call on your mom. She's right there, and she wants peace. She wants peace for you, and so she wants to help you in your greatest challenges, but she's also there in your glory days.
But we can learn about intercession, Marianne, through the second chapter of John. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said...
She was all over it.
Right?
Yeah.
And went to Jesus and said...
She noticed
They've run out of wine.
Yeah.
And then how did she intercede? She went to the servers and she said to Jesus, they have no wine. And then went to the servers, do whatever he tells you to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even so though Jesus, it wasn't looking, if we read scripture, like he was like anxious to perform some miracle. But Mary knew. She knew her son. And she knew that she had asked him to do this, he would do it.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. You're on Empowered by the Spirit. We'll be right back to talk more about hunger for his word. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are on Empowered by the Spirit. We're talking about hunger for His Word, seven key components. The first is surrendering to Christ, because when you surrender to Jesus, then your heart becomes open to receive what God has in store for us, and our eyes are lifted up. And we even see this in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, we see a veil that is over our eyes, and when we turn to Jesus, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:16, whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. And again, Scripture tells us that, right? So we're able to see things a lot more clearly. So again, surrendering to God, we have that veil lifted from us. The second point is, as I've seen in Luke 12:49, to set the earth on fire, is we talk about being on fire with the Lord through Scripture. We see this on the road to Emmaus. Jesus opened up the hearts of the people on the road through quoting Scripture. Then their hearts were on fire. The third point, which is so important, is to talk about God's love, because throughout God is love and throughout Scripture. The fourth point is to understand who we are. We're children of God, and it talks about that in Romans 8, Ephesians 1, other places. The fifth is to let us understand better how much the Blessed Mother loves us, and to really enhance a Marian devotion. Now we're on point number six. Point number six is Scripture defends us against the enemy. We see this in Matthew, the fourth chapter, in which Jesus used Scripture to say things like, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the word of God. 1 John 4:4, you belong to God, children. You've conquered them, for the one who is in you is greater than ones in the world. So we learn from 1 John 4:4 that Jesus within us is greater than he's in the world. And we learn from the John 15th chapter of John, to abide in God, to remain in God, and he will remain in us, the vine and the branches, so that when we are connected to God, we don't need to fear the enemy.
I think one of the interesting things, when he is in the desert, what does Jesus do? He quotes Scripture. Here he is, you know, the Lord quoting Scripture to the devil. And I think we need to realize that power of the Word, that it is such an instrument. And we have to put it in ourselves. Like Steve said, we have to memorize it or know it. But the power of it is to speak it. And it does cut through everything.
The devil often tries to convince us that our future is awful. Our future is never going to be any good, you know. And when we focus on, and start worrying, anxiety, and whatever. But when we have faith, everything changes. A very important critical scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:7.
We walk by faith, not by sight.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Do I get, like, a prize?
You get little stars, stickers? Let's get scripture stickers, Marianne, mm-hmm. and put little scripture stickers. We walk by faith and not by sight. So important, because faith is a shield, as found in Ephesians 6. Mm-hmm. That we hold faith as a shield against the enemy.
And think he bounces off
the fiery darts.
The fiery darts bounce off the shield of faith. So when you know that, again, it's just so, so important. Because Ephesians 6 teaches us about the armor of God. Our loins are girded in truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And what else is truth?
The Word.
The Word is truth. And the Holy Spirit leads us to the Word. Righteousness as a breastplate. What does that mean?
That we wear it on us. That if we're in the will of God, it's on us.
We're protected, right?
Our heart
is protected, yeah. right? By doing God's will. Our feet shown in readiness for the gospel of peace. And faith as a shield to quench all flaming arrows of the evil one. So very, very important, my brothers and sisters, is to understand it's not if you're under attack, but you are under attack, period. Mm-hmm. If you're a Christian, you're in a war, you know, and Scripture teaches us about that.
But I think it's important to remember the last book of the Bible, to know that also that he's already won. We have the victory with the Lord. And sometimes when we're in little battles, we get discouraged, or we feel like, oh, we're losing this battle. But no, you know, if you know Scripture, you know the ending.
We see in First Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, be sober and vigilant. Your opponent, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. And in verse 9, resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that your fellow believers throughout the world undergo the same suffering. And so when we resist him, the devil will flee from us. And when we resist him, we know that God is within us, right? Because God remains within us. Amen?
Amen. I just want to share a little testimony. And when I started going to the prayer meetings that you both held at St. Elizabeth Ansine like 5 years ago, you gave me a scripture, and I've held on to the scripture in my head.
Whoa.
It wasn't written. But when I'm going through times of strife or spiritual warfare, I call on that because it focuses on God's love. So I'll just share it with you, and then maybe this will change someone else's life too. But trust in the Lord and do good, that you may dwell in the land and live secure. And then find your delight in the Lord. So first find your delight in the Lord, the scriptures, who will give you your heart's desire. So it's important to be in his will so that we will have great joy.
And where do we find that?
And that is in Psalm 37. It starts, commit your way to the Lord. And how do you do that? Follow the scriptures. Follow the way of Christ.
One of my favorite verses the Lord gave me, and I'm bad at remembering numbers, but it's in 1 Thessalonians. The Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. That's another good one that sometimes you just cling on to. You know,
1 Thessalonians 3:3.
Steve has a gift.
But just...
And I need to pray for that gift.
Okay, here's the thing.
You have the gift.
Here's the thing. This is the seventh
gift
point.
Of the Holy Spirit.
The seventh point in learning the Word of God. What did I say? How many times a day should you use that?
A lot.
Seven.
About seven times
I'd say
a day.
20.
But here's the thing. So, as you just did, now you know it's 1 Thessalonians 3:3. So instead of just saying, the Lord is faithful, say, in 1 Thessalonians 3:3. Now say it to me. Because there's two Thessalonians.
Yes.
In 1 Thessalonians 3:3. It says what?
It says the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one.
So again, and you can say
that's a good tool.
Yeah, and you can say Romans 8:28, all things work for good, for he or she loves. It says he who loves the Lord and is called according to his purpose. And so, you know, again, pick a verse that is meaningful to you. Delight in the Lord again, and he will give your heart's desire, you know, is Psalm 37:4 that made a big impact on you. Mm-hmm. You know, so many people, you know, we have a story about in Isaiah, it talks about being, you are precious in my eyes and I love you. And again, people need to hear that. And when you hear that, you know, it can make a big difference. So take one scripture verse a week, use it up to 7 times a day, read it slowly, meditate on it, ask God to reveal it to you in terms of what the meaning is, because it is the living word. So as we take a look at these 7 points here to really change your life in which you get hunger for the word. The first is to surrender to the word made flesh, to the surrender to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
The second is to let the Holy Spirit be released within you, called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and to pray, as you mentioned, Marianne, Holy Spirit, help me love Scripture. Help me imbibe, which is like chew on, taste, you know, really absorb Scripture within my DNA, within my heart. The third is tell people how much God loves them by Scripture. And there's so many scriptures that say how much God loves them, right? You talk about Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Isaiah. You look at different scriptures throughout, you know, the New Testament, Old Testament, and so forth. Fourth is just reassure yourself who you are. You hear different things from people about, oh, well, you know, if things work out, I might eke my way into heaven and so forth. And, you know, all those different things. And to understand that you are children of God. And what does that really mean to be a child of God? I mean, what does that really mean as it relates to that? And so many people, you know, don't understand that, you know, really the power of Scripture and the power of understanding 1 Timothy 2:4 that says that God wills everyone to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wills everyone to be saved. How many people know that? How many people know that?
Think about that he wants everyone. He doesn't want just a few select people in his kingdom. He wants everyone.
He wants everyone to be safe. So learn that you're a child of God, adopted. Learn about the truth that God wants you to be with him forever in heaven. Point number 5, Scripture will help lead to a love of the Blessed Mother. Point number 6, use Scripture to protect you against the slings and arrows of the enemy. And finally, grow in your spirituality by applying Scripture in your ministry. Memorize one Scripture verse a week and use it 7 times a day. At the end of that week, you will have used it up to 49 times, and it'll change your life. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Marianne. Thank you, Katie, for being on the show. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, worship you, and glorify you. We thank you for the gift of your love. We thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you, Lord, for educating us, teaching us how much you love us through your word. Send forth your Holy Spirit upon us for a new baptism. Melt us, mold us, and use us, and heal us spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, and I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. You have been on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio.